All right, so welcome back. Next episode of Comes Naturally Podcast. We are
Joe,
Mike. My name is Cody, and our special guest again is
Taj.
All right, so today we are doing Coming Soon. We're going to discuss upcoming movies that we are excited about, that we personally want to see in theaters, and then we'll go from there. So we're going to bring up the first movie is going to be Noah, featuring Russell Crowe and Emma Watson as the big ones, and a couple other people too that are in that too, but. We'll go ahead and go around the table and talk about our impressions and what we think about it. So we'll start with our special guest, Taj.
I'm going to go with probably one of the better biblical-type movies in recent year. So, you know, it's making headlines across the world, not just the country, but across the world. Got banned in some of the African nations like Egypt and things of that nature, which I think is pretty interesting considering it's just a movie.
Ugh, not just movies, sir.
It's just
a way of life.
It's
the thing that a lot of people are complaining about is it's not the family friendly story of Noah's Ark.
Why does it need to be?
I don't think it needs to be.
Did NBC do a TV version of it a long time ago when they were still doing miniseries back in the day?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, many people have done it before. But the thing about this one is, and it's said to be from many of the actors and the director himself, is they're taking it from original story, like original scripture. Right. So it's super dark and obviously violent.
Which is exactly what it was meant to be.
It should be. I agree with you. God, I'm just saying that's why people
are cleansing the earth. I don't think it gets much more violent than that.
It's not a very happy story. No.
Yeah. Not a lot of people made it, just saying.
Especially for the animals that didn't get on the boat.
Like unicorns.
Yeah, man.
You see what happens when you're a snail?
Cool,
you need to fucking speed that shit up.
Snails just made saying. It, by the way.
Are you sure?
We have snails now.
So. They develop later.
I'm saying, man, amoeba.
On the boat.
Amoebas are always there.
Yeah, shit.
Whatever.
Anyways, whatever. Could be an arc.
So, Mike, what do you think?
I'm usually not into this kind of movie, the biblical movie. I'm probably one of the very few left that never watched Passion of the Christ.
Honestly, I haven't seen it either, which is surprising. Once again, I'll probably get disowned.
Terrific movie, by the way.
Yeah, I hear that. I don't really care. And I was talking about this earlier, if there's any director that can make a biblical movie that make me want to watch it, it's this director. Darren Aronofsky?
Yep.
God bless you.
Something like that. But his track record is impeccable. Like, really, really. I mean, you could just go back to Black Swan alone. Like, you would have told me a year before Black Swan came out that, hey, this guy's making a movie about these two ballet dancers really twisted and fuck up. You want to watch it? I'd be like, no. But awesome. So I don't hold a lot like Russell Crowe. Obviously, he's got the capability of delivering big time and big movies. And you got Emma Watson, solid. And I don't know. I'll probably watch it. Not 100% sure if I'll watch it in theaters. It might be one of those if I'm bored or if I'm free kind of deals, but I will definitely watch it at some point. So.
Joseph, what do you think?
I think by the end of what Mike had said, that's pretty much where I'm at. It's not really on my radar. It's something that if we as a group here happen to go see it during our movies every Sunday, great. I will go see it. It looks like it could be an awesome action-packed film, especially with Russell Crowe in it. But it's nothing that I've really been like, oh my God, you know, did you see that they're making a really awesome movie about Noah? It's not. So I don't really care if I see it or not. Maybe one day if I see it on TV, awesome.
All right, so I'm down for it. I've said it many times before. When I first heard about it, I thought, yes, dude, Noah, he's just chucking rocks at people. I don't care. Russell Crowe's crazy. I am a huge fan of Darren Aronofsky's. I've watched pretty much every movie that he's done. Looking at the list, we're just going to go down. So you have Pi, super messed up movie. Then his next follow-up to that is Requiem for a Dream with Jared Leto, Damon Wayans, and it's super, not Damon Wayans, not, no, the other one, the younger one, Sean Wayans in that one, super messed
Sean
up movie as well, yeah, it was Sean, I'm pretty sure, I could look it up and click on it, but I'm not going to, awesome movie, super messed up, not a happy ending whatsoever, if you've ever seen it, if you don't, be prepared for some messed up stuff, next one was The Fountain, many years later, it's that he did, a super, again, super dark movie. No happy ending if you really think about it. I mean, Hugh Jackman, you know, looking for the love of his life, going through time and space to save her, keeps failing. Awesome movie. Again, very dark. You have The Wrestler, which brought Mickey Rourke back to everyone's minds. Again, not a happy ending.
Fantastic movie.
Fantastic movie. By the way,
especially that brought, I'm a wrestling nerd. I'm a huge wrestling fan, so I was going to watch any movie that hit mainstream like that was about wrestling. But that brought, you know, everybody watched that movie and enjoyed it. So, wrestling or not, so.
It was a very good movie.
And then it comes up to Black Swan, which Mike was talking about and Joe hit on a little bit there too. They brought in a different aspect for it. He did not write that movie. That was one of the only ones he didn't write. And The Wrestler, he didn't write that too because it's based on a book. But directed, I mean, it was, I mean, crazy to think about who was in that movie and how it came out. Like, I would never have thought you'd see those people doing those things. Natalie Portman giving herself the business was ridiculous to ever think you'd see on the movie screen. And, of course, coming up, so Noah, I mean, I think is going to be pretty epic. The stories online talking about how it's bankrupt, the financing company that originally set it up. I mean, craziness. Like, how many countries are banning it? I mean, all just nutty to think about. Like,
well, that comes with any movie that has
religious undertones.
Yeah, anything to do with any type of religion is going to get, you know, blasted somewhere.
I suppose not even undertones in this movie. This would be religious overtones.
Straight, yeah.
Yeah.
Straight religious overtones, too. Not like, hey, this might have been, you know, something to do with the Bible.
Yeah. There's an allegory in there somewhere.
Yeah, no, this one's straight up blatant. Yeah. So I'm excited. The trailers look insane.
They do.
Crazy army.
It does look amazing. Coming after them. It does look visually. It visually looks spectacular, yeah, from the trailers.
So. And I love how there is no. I mean, everybody has this prototypical. This is what the arc looked like, and this is nothing like that. And I like that originality of it all. And I don't know enough about the Bible to know exactly what the ark was supposed to look like, or even if it was described as to how it looked like, other than the fact that it was big and it carried all these, you know, animals and, you know, Noah and his family. But the fact that it really goes against a lot of grains, I look forward to. And, you know, I do enjoy a good religious movie, so, you know, the fact that I haven't seen Passion of the Christ is kind of surprising, but, you know, I enjoy that and I'm looking forward to this quite a bit.
I was just wondering, though, I would think a cool surprise. I'm hoping Morgan Freeman ends up being God. That would be
wrong series of
wrong
movies.
Yeah, but they did the boat one with
Evan Almighty. No,
yeah, Bruce Almighty and Evan Almighty.
I thought this was a prequel.
No, I don't think we're gonna be.
Russell Crowe does not turn into Steve Carell at all in this movie.
Yeah,
well, that's disappointing
to all that. This
doesn't mean he doesn't turn in. He doesn't turn into
down the road.
Yeah, that's never gonna happen, dudes.
Second coming of the Ark or whatever.
Yeah,
I think we're good.
Yeah. So, yeah, our next movie up we're going to talk about is going to be Sabotage.
Sabotage.
Super excited about this one because Mike's favorite guy is in this one, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yep. We'll go to our special guest on his thoughts on Sabotage.
I pretty much will see anything that has the Governator in it. That being said, he's still the Governator. Do you say former president such and such, or do you say president such and such?
I don't. I always say former.
I always say former. President such and such. President. I did look. President Jimmy Carter. But anyways.
What do you say it like that?
Why not?
All right.
Thank you.
Because he can.
Jimmy Carter.
I like movies that look twisted, and this movie looks pretty twisted and quite violent, and if that's bad, then I don't really give a shit because I like violence, and this looks really violent, and I like that. Like aggressive movies where somebody's just, you know, just going after, you know, kind of reminds me in a tiny way of the Taken franchise, if you want to call it a franchise. Granted, the second Taken wasn't very good, but it kind of reminds me of that. Somebody just, I mean, I'm just going to fuck you up in any way I can to get what I need, you know.
Yeah.
You fuck with my family, I'm going to fuck you up type of a
Yeah, I think it's interesting. And the cast is pretty crazy if you really think about it. Absolutely. I mean, it's got a lot of people that you wouldn't really expect to see. I mean, Arnold Schwarzenegger, I'm glad to see him back in like a traditional action movie. He's been, as of lately, been in those...
Last Stand, like, what are you talking about?
Comedic action movies. Like Last Stand, if we want to go on a tangent, could have been an amazing action movie, like one of those throwbacks, like the 90s. They're
trying to throw a little comedy in there.
But well, yeah. I'm okay with that too. Like I'm okay with, 'cause like a lot of those lines, you have like those one liners. Like Johnny Knoxville did an amazing job of throwing one liners and being crazy in there. But like the problem with that movie is there's, you sell it on a Schwarzenegger movie, and he's like, those action scenes just weren't in it enough for me.
Right.
Like a lot of it was like the car driving up the highway and somehow, you know, shooting under cop cars. It's a nice and, car, though. You know. Yeah, it's cool, except for it would have been destroyed by a lot of that. Of course. But I think it should have been a lot more of like, should have been a ton more people against this small band of people from this town. Just death incarnate all over the place, you know, like this small army just trying to attack him instead of like, you know, four or five guys that did things like that. I mean, I enjoyed it, but I would have enjoyed it more if it was just like
a little bit more straight
90s action where just like a ton of people die, like more than that should have ever been possible.
Last Action Hero.
Exactly.
I love that movie.
Without the goofy eyeball.
I love that movie.
So, yeah, but so Arnold Schwarzenegger, we have Sam Worthington. Not seen a lot of him lately.
Lately, yeah.
He's been busy doing a lot of stuff. Yeah, I mean.
Well, he's about, I mean,
he's about to go out on his
Avatar.
Yeah. Yep. So. Back to Avatar again. Yeah, he's going to be on that weird vacation.
It's a big horse to get on. Yep. Why the hell not?
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, it's going to be fun to see him in something else. I mean, he's popped up in a couple of things. Man on the Ledge, he was in too. That was really good. So it'll be good to see him in something. Plus,
he did the sequel too, to Clash of the Titans.
Wrath of the Titans. Yeah, and that's another one
which
of those,
I enjoyed. Know. But I mean, really, that was kind of the last big movie he was in, was Wrath of the Titans, and he kind of disappeared for a little bit. You know, of course, he was in little things here and there, but they weren't.
Of course,
there were no blockbusters.
Hmm. Let's see, who else is in it? We got one of Taj's favorites, Terrence Howard.
Really?
What?
Because he's
Rest. No, because you like him.
Hustle and Flow.
No.
Oh. Hustle and Flow? Yeah. Anyways.
Really?
We won't discuss how he should have been in trick. More yeah. movies.
No. Stop.
No. Stop. Please. Don't ever do that again.
What the hell was that?
There's some editing. Let's see. So we got Joe Magnello.
What's his fuck?
Yep. That's the one. Mike's one of Mike's personal favorites. Does an amazing impression of almost every wrestler you
Any
can imagine.
Any wrestler from the 80s or 90s.
Yep. Macho Man Randy Savage is amazing.
If you listen to this podcast and you listen to other podcasts, listen to him on the Nerdist. I don't watch True Blood. I didn't know who Joe Manganiello was really at all. Like I outside of he was in Spider-Man for a little bit,
very small bit.
So, but listening to him on the Nerdist made me a fan of him. So this is really like the first thing he's done since me hearing him on the Nerdist. So I'm really excited to see how he does in it. And
the fact that he was almost both Batman and Superman, respectively, in two different movies.
But True Blood...
That's how you know you're good.
True Blood tied him up.
Yep, True Blood ruined that because he became more prominent in the show and couldn't meet the obligations for those. So I'm pretty crazy. So excited to see him in a real big movie. That's going to be awesome. On this list, we got Josh Holloway, who's pretty awesome. Not a lot of people know him, but a lot of faces you'll recognize. But it looks amazing. David Ayer's does an amazing job. A lot of those movies. If you didn't see his last one, End Times, it was or Harsh Times was the one with Christian Bale. A lot of people didn't like that
Michael
one just because it was kind of rough. End of Watch,
super
though,
violent,
was amazing movie. If you haven't seen it,
oh yeah.
But
so
again,
good, so gritty, and this looks like it's ending, cut from the same cloth.
Ending was so ridiculous.
Oh man!
But it was pretty awesome. So I'm excited to see him back on with another big one. That should be good too. So that's pretty awesome.
And I'm excited mainly because, as said before, I'm a huge Arnold Schwarzenegger fan. I'm a huge 80s, 90s action movie fan. That whole genre. And since he, you know, left the governor thing and he started doing movies again, all of his movies, like, none of them has really been that movie where you say, okay, Arnold's, like, back to, you know, at a level where he was before he started
back
doing.
Into the game, really, is kind of like, how I feel about it.
And I'm more forgiving of movies than
Cody.
Especially Cody.
Really? Like I and hate some, movies or something?
No, you're
no,
just
no, no, but harsh. Yeah. And which is fine, because every point you make makes sense. I just care less about those points.
I agree.
Especially with action movies.
Yeah.
So type of Last actors. Stand, solid. Like, it was very good. The one he did with Stallone.
Escape Plan.
It was okay. It's pretty good.
Okay.
Iffy on that one. But no, this one, because of, like we mentioned, End of Watch, and this one, you know, being from the same director, looking like it's cut from the same cloth, looking like it's going to be that grittier action drama and real in-your-face kind of movie, I'm really excited, especially with the ensemble cast that's in there. Like, we joke about Terrence Howard, but Terrence Howard delivers, man. He's a hell of an actor.
Right.
Sam Worthington, hell of an actor, you know. So it's going to be a lot of fun, hopefully, and really violent, probably.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but this is going to be one of his more serious films.
This one's heavy too. Like Taj was saying, it's going to be very just by the trailers alone. If you haven't seen the Red Band trailer, watch that, mainly because it shows off the super uber over the top violence it's going to have in it. But it also shows that it's going to be focusing more on Arnold as the main character too. Like, he's going to be the focus of the movie and his family and stuff like that. So that's pretty cool too. I think that's
One of the things too, if you haven't seen the trailer yet and you watch it, and if you're turned off by, like, uber violence, this one doesn't look like it's being violent for the sake of being violent. No. It looks like it's being violent for the sake of being realistic to the situations that's happening in the movie.
It serves the purpose of the story to be violent. Yes. It's not a Tarantino film where you've got just blood and guts everywhere.
It's not Kill Bill where you cut a wrist and fills a restaurant full of blood. There is a lot of violence in it.
That's not real?
No. So, I mean, I'm excited about it because it does look super gritty and does look, I like the violent movies, especially when they're over-the-top violent like that. Absolutely. But it doesn't look like over-the-top violent where you shoot someone and, like, their head explodes. But there's quite a bit of, like, you know, casualties definitely in just one trailer alone. So, but I think it looks like it's going to try to pinpoint Arnold as being a real actor in this movie. Yeah. Not just like he was, you know, kind of out of place in Last Stand as like a person in it, you know, and they gave him a little bit of backstory. This one looks to focus on him and making him a real person in the world and like putting tragedy in his life and stuff like that. So kind of excited about that. Joseph?
Yeah, no, I mean, everything that's been pretty much said.
All right.
Done and done. Sir.
So the next one movie we were talking about is going to be added to the list because of Taj. Not that none of us want to see it, but we're not really too clear on the release date, so we're not too sure when it comes in. But The Raid 2 is an Indonesian action movie. If you haven't seen the first one, The Raid Redemption, it's up. I think it's on Netflix. We forgot to look, but I know it's on a lot of things. You can check it out.
It was at one point. I know.
Skip renting it and just buy it. You'll thank yourself. You'll thank us.
If you're into action movies, it's definitely that's what it is. If you've never seen an Indonesian movie, it's literally the worst thing a stuntman can do, because you will literally die from things that they do to these people in there. It's awesome. It's over the top. Not overly bloody, except for the light bulb fight scene in the first one.
But violent.
It is
super very cool premise violent. To the first one too, and the second one doesn't hold the same premise.
Just looks more ridiculous. But
the first one is you're in a confined area. It's one big building that they're trying to get to the. SWAT team trying to get to the top.
Like a drug lord.
Yeah, not a whole lot of more details are really needed. You'll figure it out as you go along. But again, if you like action movies,
it's a subtitled flick,
but there is so much action in that movie. It's not overly gory or something like that, but it is violent as all hell. Like, there is tons of ass kicking in that movie.
And the trailers
for the second one looks like it holds up
tenfold. If not even more. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks pretty exciting for that one. So I'm excited to see that one.
Super stoked. I will definitely see that one in theaters whenever it comes out.
It's kind of a combination of martial arts, gunplay, and then just ass kickery. And to me, you don't get much better of a combination outside of, I'm very big when it comes to martial arts.
Popcorn flick, man. It is.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Grab a bucket full and fucking eat the shit out of it, because that's what's going to happen. It's a wonderful movie, honestly. When it comes to action, I don't think that there is much better of a type of action movie than The Raid Redemption.
Which, so, you also want to see the original, watch the trailer for the second one, watch that one, because there will be an American version coming fairly soon, right? Next year sometime?
We don't know release stages yet. It's not. I don't know if they've said next year or not, but it does. Tentatively right now, it is signed on to be the Hemsworth brothers. So
Liam, yeah, and so Thor and little that, Thor.
Yeah, so Thor versus his little brother. If you watch the first movie, you'll understand kind of why they're brothers in it. Also, Liam needs another action movie since he was snubbed in the first action movie he was actually in, being kicked in the chest with a knife by Van Damme. Unfortunately, oh, cut man. Short from
super badass movie. In The Expendables 2 for that ten minutes
movie. So I highly recommend that. I'm super excited to see more about it, and hopefully that does materialize to be as good.
And a little play that or skit or whatever you want to call it that the Hemsworth brothers did that is out there in the webverse that you can look up, and it is not only entertaining but well done, you know, for the little short that it is. So check that out. It does look solid.
Can't wait.
Yep.
Okay, and so we're moving on to my personal favorite, and I will wait to talk last about this because I'll probably rant.
Maleficent.
Damn it. Yeah. Captain America, the Winter Soldier.
Yes.
Super excited about this. I am a giant nerd when it comes to comic books in general, but movies based on comic books and Captain America. I loved the first one myself. I know a lot of people didn't like it because it was slow to build, but then, you know, got to it and didn't have as much action as everyone wanted to. But that's not what that movie was actually intended for, because it is more of an espionage and that type
it's
of thing.
It's a war movie. It's a period piece.
It's a period piece for sure. This one has been boasted as what comic book fans have come to know Captain America for. Straight up action, but also intrigue and things like that. I'm super excited about it.
This one tends to lean more on the espionage side.
Yes, there's a lot of espionage to it. I cannot wait. It looks amazing. The first picture I ever saw of the characters from it, we already know what Cap looks like, but the first picture we saw...
Revamped suit, though.
Yeah, a couple of them, if you really pay attention, there's a couple different variations. So, excited about that. The following... the supporting actors from all the other Marvel movies. Nick Fury is in this one. You got Black Widow comes back, Scarlett Johansson. We had a new character that I'm excited to see, which is going to be the Falcon. That's super awesome. I'm really excited to him because Anthony Mackie, I think, needs to be up in there. He was awesome in the Pain and Gain.
Pain and Gain is fantastic.
Super fantastic.
Oh, that's a good movie, too.
Was a good one. So I'm super excited to him. He looks amazing as the Falcon.
The ideal Falcon, too, when I heard Falcon was going to be in it, you kind of think back to the comics. You're like, ooh, this could be kind of cheesy, maybe.
Yeah, the thing, though, you have to remember,
holy shit,
though,
how good does it look, though?
Well, the thing you have to remember about the Marvel Universe we're in is more focused on the newer version of the Marvel Universe, which is Ultimate Marvel Universe. It's more modernized, so he does not have a blue, red and white spandex suit with wings. It is actually a mechanical jetpack that has wings. He carries submachine guns. He's super action. I cannot wait. He looks almost exactly like the character from the comic book. I mean, other than being a little bit thinner than the character from the comic books, but he looks spot. The costume looks spot on. The submachine guns, action. There's a clip online you can watch. It's phenomenal.
Let me tell you what I like most about Captain America, and while he is not my favorite Marvel action hero, what draws me to him so much...
Is he the black friend?
No. Oh. Maybe. No. The human element. He is...
The black friend. Sorry, go ahead.
The human element that is Captain America and where he came from and what keeps him grounded. And that, to me, is... epically important to his character, you know, of course, being the fact that he is Captain America and what he stands for, but the morals surrounding him as an individual that make him the superhero that he is. And I really do appreciate that human element to him that, you know, where he goes or where he pulls his his character from, where he pulls himself from, you know, and makes him
he's always gonna have the dynamic of having to be from the 40s and being stuck, that he was stuck in ice, and you know that he's completely, everything he knows is pretty much dead.
Old-fashioned, very, you know, very patriotic.
Yep, very much so. And this, and it applies more to this one than his last appearance, which is in The Avengers, because now he, it's more, it's obviously it's going to be focused on him more than anything else. Avengers is more about the team, but you had a little bit of that, you know, that out-of-placeness in that, in The Avengers. This one's going to have a lot more of that because his morals are going to be pushed to a different standard, because back when he came from, it was all about protecting everybody, and of course, as we know nowadays, there's a lot that goes on. You know, he still stands for the American way, but his American way is obviously skewed for a lot more than what some of the other people he has to deal with on it too.
And you could tell in the trailers from this one that this movie's, you know, the undertones of this movie's, the factors outside of the action and stuff like that, is poignant in today's, you know, things that are actually happening. You know, the overuse of you know,
technology, to
tracking, yeah. You know, the
Big Brother.
They touch on it in the trailer, so you know it's going to be an important issue with, you know, Fury being this stop threats before they happen, and then you, and that's almost exactly how they said it in the trailer. And fighting then Captain America thinking like, well, you know, what about a crime's supposed to be committed before you're punished for it, that kind of stuff, and that holds true right now. So you're going to see things that make sense about right now, political kind of stuff. But outside of that, like, you know, touching back on what a lot of people seem to be kind of indifferent about the first one for some reason, I think Marvel has done a fantastic job of making all the movies its own genre.
Definitely.
It's not a comic book movie anymore. It's not a superhero movie anymore. It's Captain America was a war movie. You know, Captain America 2, Winter Soldier, is going to be an espionage thriller, which is also why I think it's cool, because one of the best espionage movies out there, you have an actor, Robert Redford, being in this one. Sneakers. I think, yeah, exactly.
Knew it.
But I mean, just the cast in this, you know, obviously the usual suspects, but the casting of a Robert Redford in this movie, legitimate.
If you would have told me 5 years ago, before, like 5 or 6 years ago, when all this started to come about with the Marvel Universe, that Robert Redford would be in a comic book movie.
Ridiculous.
But as like a prominent role, not like a, oh, it's Robert Redford, you know, like that. He's a main character in this movie. I would have been like, you're out of your fucking mind. There's no way Robert Redford, the Natural, would be in a comic book movie.
But there's a lot of actors like that too.
Now though, I mean, but
now, yeah,
it's like, it's so mind-blowing.
It lends back, so much credibility, you know, to it. It goes back to the formula used way, way, way back in Tim Burton's first Batman, and casting Jack Nicholson as the Joker. Yep. All of a sudden, everyone's like, "Holy shit! This cartoony book movie has one of the best actors of our time right now, main character in it." And so you've used some of that now with, you know, as going with, you know, the fact that you use Robert Downey Jr. for Iron Man, which at the time was an enormous risk.
Yeah.
But everyone knew Robert Downey Jr. could act his ass off.
Yep.
You know, so delivered. That was the most important thing for casting for these movies. And now you get into the subcasting, the supporting cast. Like I said, to throw Robert Redford in there,
Meryl Streep is going to be in Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's right. Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And think about it. I mean, to really solidify Mike's point, can you honestly imagine any other actors being the superheroes that they portray right now?
No, I can't. They did an amazing job.
They did such a top fucking notch job of casting all of the characters and almost every single one of them,
at one point you're like, when you first heard about it.
Oh yeah, it was questionable.
You're like, holy shit. But they built up equity. Like,
and it's funny now, like, quickly. When you say, like, it's like a few years ago when this all started happening, Robert Downey Jr. was like, what? He's going to be a, huh? Like, and then people like, and it was even said like,
and why Iron Man document, too? You know what I mean?
The thing about, like, Iron Man until the movies was like a, like, dropped down to like a C-list character in the Marvel Universe. It was crazy to think.
Hardly existed.
And like, they did a documentary aired like 2 weeks ago or a week ago on ABC talking about the future of him. and it was awesome. And they talked, like, they spoke about that and the fact that, like, he was their number one pull. They didn't look at anybody else really for that movie when they did it. They literally wanted Robert Downey Jr. And, like, they almost did not get backing from the money guys for it, because they're like, that's a huge risk, because he's been bad spotlight. He hasn't done a whole lot of things, and we're gearing this towards more of kids, even though really if you think about it, they weren't, because there's a lot of violence in it. But that's what I always think about comic movies. And Jon Favreau almost quit because of it, but they trusted him, and look what happened. I mean.
The documentary, the Building Marvel Universe, that was on ABC is fantastic.
Yes.
I believe it's on Hulu. The free. I know it's on Hulu Plus. I think the free version, if you just go to Hulu, you can check that out too. Really, really well done. But yeah, it just lends to the same point we're making. Like, casting so important, because the writing's there. You know, the directorial choices for the different Marvel movies have been interesting too. Like, would have thought, you know, Swingers is going to direct this huge, this huge action movie in Jon Favreau.
If not almost three, because they almost did Avengers.
Yeah, Avengers. And so. then Josh Whedon doing Avengers, you're like, oh, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Oh, he's going to do
it. Yeah, it was like,
you know what I mean?
A lot of people were iffy about that, because they're like, why? You look at his body of work, you're like, I don't see that
coming from
always
him.
Because,
and then you know, even with Thor, I'm spacing on the name, but he was a Shakespearean actor and a producer.
Kenneth Branagh.
Who is one of my favorite actors of all time, by the way.
Yeah, fantastic.
But, and then that's another one. Like, Kenneth Branagh wants to direct Thor. Like, if you would have said that to me before I knew any of this was going on, I'd be like, well, first off, you're from drunk. A weird drunk like area that we need to put you back in your drunk tank. Because there's no fucking way that Kenneth Branagh would ever want to direct a Thor movie.
Yeah.
Because me thinking, when I first heard they're going to do the Thor movie, I was like, you'd be out of your fucking mind. Because that is a hard movie to sell to, like, a big open market of movies. You're doing so
and
well
that, and that's
America.
You saying that yeah. as a comic book nerd.
Yeah, because
you saying that.
That character's so hard to relate in real life, and they fucking nailed it. They gave it heart, they gave it soul. Chris Hemsworth embodied that role. I wish he could grow a bigger beard, but that's okay.
And honestly, I think the fact that Kenneth Branagh directed it pulls out the Asgardian, that kind of Shakespearean piece in Asgard. The beauty. I think that's a good word for it, because it's important to what Asgard is and, you know, needed to be. You know, definitely a perfect, and, you know, ends up being a perfect choice as director.
I mean, we go to the list. I mean, the future for the Marvel Universe, first off, like, this year alone, we have
bright
two amazing movies. Captain America, getting huge reviews. Everybody loves it. One of the most celebrated authors and writers for Captain America, Ed Brubaker, has seen it. He said it's the best Marvel movie they made. That might be tipped a little more because he is a huge Captain America fan, writing it for so long. But he loves crime dramas. He loves, like, film noir or those, like, detective stories. He says it plays so well and it's so good. I mean, but everybody's saying it's tremendous. It's, like, the best movie they've made yet. I literally hope this movie destroys what the business that Avengers did, because it'd be amazing to see one standalone character blow it out of the water. But, I mean, later in the year, we have Guardians of the Galaxy we talked about before.
Which, again, a whole different genre of a movie.
And again,
is a straight sci-fi comedy.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
It's ridiculous. After seeing the trailer, I'm super sold on it before. I was excited because I love those characters. Not many people knew they were. But they look amazing. It looks like they're going to do a really good job keeping it true. It's going to be phenomenal. I cannot wait. But, I mean, speaking of other ones, like, so next year we have Ant-Man with Michael Douglas.
And Paul Rudd.
I mean, like, Michael Douglas in a comic movie, again, is like, that blows my mind to think about Michael Douglas in a comic movie.
even after knowing what I know about the Marvel Universe, when they announced Ant-Man, I went, why Ant-Man?
Yeah.
Like, out of all the movies you could do, why would you do Ant-Man? And then seeing the director, which was
Edgar Wright.
Yeah, the guy who did the
Scott Pilgrim. He did Shaun of the Dead.
Hot Fuzz. All those ones with those guys. At World's End, which kind of showed he could do a little bit of action too, because that actually was pretty funny and good action in it. To the casting, you see Michael Douglas in Ant-Man?
Yeah.
Like,
it's odd.
That's so odd. Paul Rudd is a really, really good actor, fun to watch, but again, if you didn't trust in the equity that Marvel's built up with its casting choices, you go Paul Rudd. Okay.
Yeah.
But just a brief little bit of footage that they've shown. I think they showed it at Comic-Con last year, but they showed
it. So it was the footage from 2 years ago.
Yeah,
original chess footage.
Yeah, and they showed it again on that
during the big Marvel panel this past San Diego Comic-Con,
and even on the building the universe that we mentioned earlier that was on ABC. Just how that 3 second clip, because that was the first time I seen it, made me go, oh, okay. Yeah. This is how they're gonna do it. Like, that's cool.
Yeah,
it brings shit.
Yeah, because like with like Guardians of the Galaxy and Ant-Man and some other projects they've mentioned, Doctor Strange movie, they're going to this place that you never would have thought they'd go to, because the fact that they have kind of run aground of like the more stable ones. I mean, I'm sure there's other ones out there we all know they would love to get back a hold of, X-Men, Spider-Man. Because their universe would be so much bigger.
Spider-Man especially, man. Yeah, if you get a hold of Spider-Man and throw those
on the Avengers. That'd be awesome. If you think about it, an Avengers movie with Wolverine, Spider-Man, Captain America, Thor, the Hulk. I mean, that's
scary,
ridiculous.
Good.
Like, that's so scary amazing good. To see. Like, that would be amazing to see them in that dynamic. And the one-liners would just be out of the window with that. I mean, it would just be... It's going to be ridiculous. I mean, we are getting closer to an X-Men... universe within the Marvel Cinematic Universe, with the inclusion of Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver, the first two mutants. Now, I don't know if they're going to call them mutants in the movie or not, but they have mutant abilities. That's interesting to see they're bringing them in. Plus, it's an iteration. We know that with another movie, Quicksilver is going to be in this year. So we'll see one of those first. Not all of us will see it, but some of us will. And so it's kind of interesting to see that, but like it's just... It's really interesting to see. But let's rein it back a little bit to Captain America. I haven't got to my main point on it, which is weird to say. But so the first time I saw pictures for it, I was super excited. I got to see the costume ahead of time. They debuted at Comic-Con. It looked amazing. It was updated. It looked a lot more just more sleek and cool design, because it didn't have a lot of red on it. It wasn't as showy as the one from... the Avengers, because Avengers 1 was pretty vibrant in a way.
Yeah, it was
this
bright.
This one looks very.
And but they muted. Even mentioned that they needed something old fashioned. You know, like that was the ideal.
So like this one looks cool because they're bringing it back and it still looks dark and it plays to the whole thing. But when I first saw the picture of Winter Soldier, Bucky Barnes, oh my goodness, I couldn't. The metal arm and just like the look of him, and he's carrying guns and he's getting ready to fight Cap. It was on. I was done. I didn't need to see anything else. I was going to watch more, because once the trailers came out, I was. Oh my God, it was ridiculous.
Or even just the 5 minute scene that was in front of Thor, the elevator fight scene.
We were seeing trailers before that. But yeah, just that scene, if you went and saw Thor in 3D, Thor the Dark World in 3D, you got a good 5 minute clip with a new trailer at the end of it, of Captain America, one of the scenes from it, which if you haven't read about the plot of Captain America: The Winter Soldier, you'd be really confused on what happened in that trailer, because in other trailers, some of the people he's fighting are supposed to be his friends. I'm not going to spoil anything for you, but there's a reason for it. But it was phenomenal. The action looks amazing. Chris Evans again plays Captain America
Absolutely.
Amazingly. He fits it so well. On that news, he did say that after his contract is up with Marvel, he's retiring from acting.
Yeah,
he's going to go into directing and writing, so that's kind of disappointing. But we're going to get the Captain America. At least I think they said Captain America 3 would be the last one he does. So we got a few more years of
him. That's him after the second Avengers.
So we have a while to go, but it's going to be exciting. So excited about that. The movie looks phenomenal. It just looks so action-packed and just beyond ridiculous. The scope of the movie looks huge. You saw helicarriers all over the place. You saw one
crash in the water.
One crash into the S.H.I.E.L.D. headquarters. It's super awesome. I mean, it's going to be ridiculous. I can't wait. We're a little over a week away. It's just not fast enough. So I'm super excited about it myself.
Probably this year's biggest movie, right?
Easily, yes.
Yeah. It's... Because I know it's still early in the year.
Yeah, it's early in the year. If you go
through the list, though, there's nothing else that's really going to compete against it too much. You have Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Which will hold its own and be awesome, but it's not going to do the Captain America Hobbit. Kind of numbers.
And really, that's about it.
I think. The Hobbit will do good, but not the numbers that this is looking to
do. You're probably right about it. I can't really argue that.
The Journey Home, or whatever it's called, the third movie. Mike does not like Lord of the Rings or Hobbit. He thinks
Peter Jackson. I don't like Peter Jackson.
He doesn't like Peter Jackson.
Because he's a fucking idiot.
Peter Jackson is.
Sorry. Anyways, yeah. Let's not pick on Mike for not having good taste.
I will gladly pick on Mike.
But yeah, it's exciting to think that this year does have quite a few awesome looking comic movies. One that I'm not excited about, that we don't have to talk about at all, but it's there. So we can if we want. Anybody takers? No? Okay, good. So we'll jump to...
My hand was up. No, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't, yeah. So Captain America, everyone's super excited about it. I talked way too much about it anyways. Anybody else have anything else to say about Captain America?
Joe?
No.
I think you...
Everything's already been said.
All right.
Said plenty.
Yep. So, going down the list of movies, there's a gap. For me, personally, there's a gap in there until Amazing Spider-Man 2, which is 4 weeks after Captain America, so almost a full month.
What's between? Just give a quick little rundown.
So there is one that I'm interested in, but I don't think it's going to be hugely popular. It's called Cuban Fever. It's with Nick Frost from the Cornetto Trilogy, as well as amongst other things. That looks really funny, but I don't know how well it's going to play. Mike, I know, had a little bit of interest in Draft Day with Kevin Costner
because
it's a football movie. It does look kind of interesting, but I'm not a football fan, so I don't think that's going to play
well. The cast on that one, too.
The cast looks pretty good, too. Yeah. Cast. Except for What's-Her-Face. I don't like Ben Affleck's...
Jennifer Garner?
Jennifer Garner. Not a huge fan of Jennifer Garner, mainly because of Elektra. But...
that means you don't like Ben Affleck either because of Daredevil.
No, I forgave him after that.
Then you should be able to forgive.
No, God, she hasn't done anything much better after that either.
All right, moving along.
Yep. So there's a couple other interesting ones. Locke with Tom Hardy looks
interesting.
Interesting to tell you.
Not a whole lot to tell from the trailer.
Like, yeah, there's not much there yet.
For a movie that comes out in a few weeks,
I gotta admit though, is kind of cool because you don't get to go into a lot of movies not knowing a whole lot. Yeah, and I think that's the point
notions or anything like that
about this one. So that's pretty cool.
True, but then how much do you really want to see it?
Yeah, they're not building it up, that's for damn sure.
The fact that it's Tom Hardy, though, I'm a big Tom Hardy fan.
Not a lot of people can bank on Tom Hardy's name, though, you know. We know who Tom Hardy is.
I know this is not a movie that they need to make 100 mil or 200 mil. This is just a movie that basically needs to get back there. Yeah, and if it does that, I think it's going to be considered a success, or obviously more than even, because they need to make a little bit of money.
Right.
But I think that's why, and it doesn't look like a big budgeted movie, so it doesn't look like it's going to take a lot. And Tom Hardy going from, if you want to go back and see a hell of an acting job, go to watch Bronson. Yep. Tom Hardy
almost looks like a completely different person.
You don't watch that and go, oh, that's Tom Hardy playing Bronson. That's Bronson. You know what I mean? Like, that's him in that movie. And then coming forward to Warrior.
We're so skipping good. Over something that is.
Yeah, we're skipping. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, come on now. Rock and Roller. Handsome Bob. Yeah. He was fantastic. Another movie. He was scrawny in. He looked like a completely different person. I mean, it was phenomenal. I mean, I loved him in that movie. He wasn't a huge part of it, but he was in enough of it. He was supporting cast in it, but he was great in that movie.
And that was
too,
a great movie.
Yep. But yeah, I mean, he's done a lot of different stuff. And obviously, the last big thing most people remember him for is Dark Knight Rises. He played Bane.
But, you know, a lot of people thought he fell flat in that role.
Because they don't
those people.
They don't understand. They don't understand that character.
If you can give a performance that's worth a damn and you have half of your face covered up the whole time and your voice doesn't sound like your voice.
Your voice is
and
distorted.
You could still do a good job in it.
Oh, yeah.
That's impressive. He gave that whole performance basically on body language and through his eye movement.
Which he sold.
Like a motherfucker.
Definitely, for sure. I mean, that he gave, it's funny because to not go on too long of a tangent on just that one, but he did an amazing job of bringing a legitimate character to someone who has always been
a sideshow
in the, both the comics and the cartoons. Absolutely. He's always been someone who gets beat real easily. Yes, I know in things like Nightfall, he broke Batman's back, but he was, if you read that book, he's a very small part of that actual story. It's more of about that series of those three volumes are really about Batman being broken and having to recover and take back the cowl. I mean, it's awesome, but he's been portrayed as like a flunky. The last time, well, the only other time we ever saw Bane in a movie
was
not good.
Appearance.
We won't mention Batman and Robin, but it was not even close to what it is.
I mean, and even if you want to kind of get a little bit of the character, you know, a lot of, or when he does appear in the animated series, that's probably the most credence that Bane has been given in terms of legitimacy. And even then, he's still, obviously, because it's a cartoon, it's cartoony, but he's not really what you think this super intelligent, every bit as physically gifted as Batman person should be.
And that's the thing I think people don't know about Bane. Super intelligent.
No, yeah. Actually, he's not. So if you pay attention to Dark Knight Rises, he was still a puppet. That's always what he's been, and that's what I was going to bring up. He did not plan any of that happened.
Well, right. Though. We know
but
that.
The
but
the thing
still...
about him is they made him more of a smarter character, but even in the comic books and in the cartoon, he was always used as a stooge. I don't think...
But you say stooge and you think of, like, you know, Joker's henchman. Like, he's...
Oh, yeah, he's not like... Yeah. He's not.
He was never
character.
The guy, but he was only one step away from the guy.
But
like,
he was never character. He was never as smart as Batman. He was never going to outwit Batman. He was going to outbrawn Batman. But again, Batman's always going to find a way, and he does, and finds a way to defeat him.
But that's what makes Batman Batman.
Exactly, and that's why Batman has got his name in the titles, and you know the movie's
right,
about him.
He's not Bane.
They did a good job of making Bane a threat in this movie too, in Dark Knight Rises. Which he hasn't been done a lot of in the comic books, because he is just muscle, and that's what a lot of people do. And I wish that someone else would take that and write a good Bane story, but they really haven't. But and there's a few out there, but they're nothing that stands out. Like when you go down the list of Batman villains, Bane doesn't usually hit the top of most people's lists because of that.
Right.
So, but way back off that tangent.
So, point being, Tom Hardy's a really good actor.
Yes,
and
Tom
I think
Hardy's
he carry a movie that
I
you
like
don't
Tom.
Know
he
really
was good
it's
in Lawless,
really about.
Yeah. With
that was the only know, good part about Lawless.
Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah. But, I mean, he's going to be the next Mad Max. So
if
that's
that
exciting.
Ever comes
Fury
out.
Road, whenever that actually happens. He looks amazing in the role. If you haven't seen the pictures, they're online. They're phenomenal. This car looks fucking beastly. Craziness in that one. But we'll go on past that. So Locke seems interesting. Watch the trailer. It's the whole movie takes place in his car, apparently, if I read the description properly. So that's kind of crazy. The next one for that week is a personal favorite of Mike's. That's Transcendence with Johnny Depp.
That movie blows ass.
We saw this movie in advanced screening in November,
yeah.
I think it was.
Yeah, it was
not a good
ago.
Movie.
I think
I
it
like
was
to,
we were first screening, right?
It was one of the very first screenings of the movie ever in public, other than out of the studios. Hopefully there's some editing and some more special effects put in because they were not good.
Hopefully they reshot the whole thing because that movie sucked.
They didn't. Just a real quick one, if you watch the trailer, it is misleading by leaps and bounds. It looks like an action movie. Not even fucking close to an action
Literally
movie.
Literally every bit of action that you get out of that movie is sewn in the 2 minute and 10 second trailer.
Yes.
Like it's not.
It's literally all there. It's if... I am a huge fan of a movie called Lawnmower Man. Jeff Fahey's best work, if you ask me, other than Lost. But it's a crazy movie from back in the day. I think it's the early 90s, if not late 80s. I can't remember.
No,
it was
early 90s.
But it was
early
90s, right? It's a super crazy movie.
Oh,
this
so
one
sideways.
Is literally Lawnmower Man 2.0. It's Lawnmower Man in a technology-driven world. The cast is unbelievably thick. Problem is
they can't hold that
nothing,
story.
Yeah, you can't. You can act as much.
It's a,
as you
it's
want,
a kind of cool
no
ideal, but the problem with the kind of cool ideal is that kind of cool ideal has been done before much better. It's you call it like a shitty lawnmower man. I call it
I said an upgraded lawnmower man myself. But
yeah, yeah.
That's why I said 2.0 is better.
So as much as you guys are trashing it, being the only two people that have seen it, how was at least the acting? Because it has a pretty good cast.
I think the actors did what they were told to do.
And I've said this about a lot of things, not to cut you off, Mike, but there's a difference between good acting and good acting with a good story.
Yeah.
You cannot act well if it's just written like shit. this movie falls flat.
It wasn't directed well.
Yeah, the it's funny. The cinematography I found actually worse than anything else about the movie because, and it's funny because the director is Christopher Nolan's DP. He is the person who makes Christopher Nolan's movies look amazing with those big, huge shots and the close-ups and all that, like the beautiful things you see in Inception, the glorious shots you see of Batman in all three Batman movies. It's the same dude, but he didn't do the cinematography himself. To me, it just fell flat. We saw it without some of the special effects, as they say. I don't know what else they could add to make it any better.
Yeah, there wasn't enough that we... Like, you could tell when a movie doesn't have what special effects in. And we you know, we saw the scenes that didn't
Transformers,
have
for example. Transformers 3.
Yeah, we watched Transformers without it being done.
Literally animatic storybords in it, you know?
Like, you still see the broom for people to look. Yep, it was fantastic. Supposed to be, like, the robot's eye. Yeah. Yep.
Oh,
but with... You say with Transcend, the acting is, I literally think they did exactly what the script and the director called for. Only problem with that being is it's so fucking boring and flat. You have Johnny Depp, who as an actor can literally give you some of the funnest, craziest performances that we've seen in recent memory. And 99% of what he's doing in that, just sitting there talking. Like, even before he's actually sitting there talking, he looks like he's just sitting there talking. Like, there's no fun to it. I didn't like it at all.
Yeah, it's not good. People will go see it because there's Johnny Depp and Morgan Freeman and a lot of people in it. It's just, to me, it... Jarvis is in it. It has a lot of great people in it. It could have been so much better, I think. Johnny Depp's acting, the best part of it, was at the beginning when, spoiler if you haven't watched the trailer at all, he gets shot and killed. You felt bad, like, for him and his friends, but, like, he did such an amazing job of watching this man literally die of radiation poisoning and the transformation. But then once you get him in the computer, it just completely falls apart because he just does not play a good AI in it. And it's just, I don't know, it falls apart for me, but... It could have been better, but it wasn't, and I don't think with any amount of editing it could be better than it was. I know people say edit a movie and it can be better, but I find it hard to believe that could change
that
movie.
Edits and some reshots, man.
Yeah,
sure.
It's gonna be rough from there. So Mike and I've seen it. Like I said, give it a shot if you want, but I'm not going to see it. I'm not gonna pay money for it. That is for sure. But do it. So the last one we'll bring up will be Amazing Spider-Man 2. That one comes out, again, like I said, in about 4 weeks from now, when we're recording this, May 2nd. I myself loved the first one. I saw it in theaters technically twice, once for my birthday. Thank you, Joe. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. Saw it in 4K the second time. If you ever get a chance to see a movie in 4K, fucking do it. If you don't know what 4K is, it's a 4,000 resolution. It is beyond high def, ultra high def, as they call it. I saw the movie once in 3D, regular, you know, movie theater in 3D. Looked amazing. Movie was shot tremendously well. The graphics, special effects were great. Blown away by 4K. Not in 3D. We did not see it in 3D that time, but 4K was crystal fucking clear, beyond anything I've ever seen a movie in, and that includes the Hobbit movies in the 48 frames. Those are super sharp, and those actually sometimes... little bit bad on the special effects. You can kind of see what makeup looks like. But in the 4K of Amazing Spider-Man, it was phenomenal. But off of that, Amazing Spider-Man 2, we'll go back to Taj, see his, start with him on this, and we'll go through this fairly quickly.
I'm in. Enough said. I mean, honestly, to me, it, you know, the Amazing Spider-Man set this movie up just in character development. I think that, rebooting the Spider-Man series was probably the best idea that Spider-Man has had. And it did well, extremely well. Obviously, it did very well box office, and I think that the characters of the Amazing Spider-Man are so much better. Not saying that Spider-Man was bad, it's just better. ultimately is just better. Everything's better about it.
Well, they're also able to use different villains just for the first movie too. I mean, you never even touched on the Lizard. I mean, you touched on him in the Sam Raimi version. But
yep, you saw Kurt Connors. He was one of Peter's teachers. And it was little seeds of putting in there. You know, you Flash Thompson, for example, we mentioned earlier. Joe Manganiello was mentioned. He is a character that comes about later in the Marvel Universe. But like Kurt Connors was in the Sam Raimi ones. They give you little nuggets of what could be, and people got excited. Eventually, those movies fell flat because Sam Raimi couldn't do what he wanted to. Blah blah blah. Anyways, so Amazing Spider-Man. What I was going to bring up when Taj was talking about it, the first one. One of the best origin movies of a comic book character or a character in general ever in cinematically, because they did such a great job of getting him right as Spider-Man. Like, he jumped into it. There was a little bit of, you know, like him as not a Spider-Man, but for the most part, he was Spider-Man throughout the entire movie. But it was cool to see him evolve as Spider-Man and change, because at first he just went out for revenge and eventually became, you know, he did learn that he needed to be, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. But you saw him form into a hero, and it wasn't one of those things where, like, you saw, like, all this build-up, and then last 15 minutes, he's Spider-Man. He was Spider-Man for the majority of that movie. But it was cool to see the origin done so well. But I think what played well for that is they didn't have to spend a lot of time on it, because we have seen a Spider-Man in the last 5 years. So people know. All you really do is change how he got his powers a little bit, and the world kind of set it up a little differently. But I love that about the first one. And the second one looks to be setting up so much more. As we know already, they're planning a Sinister Six movie. They're planning a standalone Venom movie, which is crazy, because one of the original scenes from the first Spider-Man movie was supposed to be a moon rock. If anyone knows about the symbiote that was created, it is alien in origin. In the Ultimate Universe, the reason they cut it out of the original script and never shot anything with it was because in the Ultimate Universe, which this one's a little more based on as well, him being younger and everything, is that it's man-made. It's a synthetic something made by humans and just goes awry through science, things like that. And I think they're really leading up to that with this one, if you watch the trailers, with modification of human genome and things like that with Electro and the little spots you see with Doc Ock's arms and the Vulture's wings, and of course what now we know Dan DeHaas's character changes into the Green Goblin with heavy modifications, if you haven't seen the picture they posted recently. But looks amazing. But I'm sorry, taking over. Taj, go back.
I don't feel like I want to talk anymore. Thanks.
Okay. Michael.
All right. What I mainly wanted to say about this is the reason I'm so excited about this one is the first one was just so much fun. You can't compare it to, you know, a Nolan Batman movie, because it doesn't hold the same kind of depth. But, you know, we're getting to these comic book movies that hold so much weight, and they're fantastic, and they're heavy, and there's so much more.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, and so much more than what you would think a comic book movie would be. But at the same time, I think The Amazing Spider-Man did one of the best jobs of, again, getting that origin quick and out of the way, having good actors in it, portraying the character like everyone wants it to be portrayed, and just being a ton of fun. It's not, you know, yeah, it's based in reality there, but like we all know there's not going to be a giant lizard man, as opposed to Chris Nolan wants everything to be possible in his movies. They don't care. They're like, we're going to give you the villains as you've seen them in the comic books and as you've seen them in the cartoons. And it was just a ton of fun and so fast paced, so much fun. Looked fantastic. It wasn't dark like a lot of comic book movies are just getting to be so dark now.
And the comedy is actually better.
Peter Parker, if you've only seen the movies out of the original trilogy, that's not a Peter Parker. That's not him. Like what you see in the, like my upbringing with Spider-Man was the cartoon, the 90s cartoon. That was my introduction. That's my base of knowledge for Spider-Man. That Peter Parker would talk shit, make funny jokes. You know, he was always saying something, always, you know, keeping it moving.
Quick-witted,
always coming back at you. If the villain said something that was, you know, kind of corny, but very villainous, but still corny. He'd call him out on it, make fun of him. It's like you see it in the trailer for part two when he calls Electro Sparkles.
Yeah.
That shit made me laugh. Like, you can't, or even in part one when the car burglar pulls a knife on him and he's like, oh no, you found my weakness, tiny knives. You know, like shit like that. That's what Peter Parker really is. So that's why I'm so excited about this one. Super pumped to see this one.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Man of a million words, Joseph.
Absolutely.
Joseph.
Yeah, if you couldn't tell, I'm excited about it. They're building a bigger world, which I'm all about. I am a little bit eerie with the development of some of the characters and how it's done. And hopefully they do it well. I've always had a hard time, and I said the same thing about when the Avengers was first announced. A lot of characters, what are they going to do with them all? The best part about it is it looks like they're starting slow. With more of the trailers you see, it looks like it's a slow build, and the main character from this one, or main villain for this one, is going to be Electro. So it's like a good way to do it without being overdrawn and things like that. So I'm super excited about it, as you could probably tell.
And they're not throwing in too many characters.
No, they're giving you nuggets. The nice thing I like about it is you do see things like Doc Ock's arms in Oscorp. You do see the Vulture's wings. So for comic book fans and people who know the characters, we all know that's there. I'm not thinking they're going to be in the movie. I'm just
hint at them for future reference.
What I was worried about is the fact they do have three villains named in the movie.
Right.
They have the Rhino, which weighs, as of we know now from details, is in it very little. But we just found out today, he'll be coming back for the third one. So that's pretty awesome. Hopefully as a bigger character, but also hopefully they use him in maybe the Sinister Six movie too, because I think it'd be awesome for that. Plus he looks amazing in it. We have Electro, obviously, which is the big one, and then we have Green Goblin in it too, which looks phenomenal. That glider looks fabulous. I cannot believe how good it looks, especially after the snowboard we saw with the new Goblin from the last time. But I mean, the Sam Raimi one was very classic because it took elements from the comic books almost dead on and made it look like it. They're doing more of their own spin with this one, with like the Rhino being Jace, basically just a put together mech suit with giant guns on it.
Literally, you know? Looks like a personal tank. We were talking about it earlier. It looks badass. Yeah,
it looks amazing. I mean, it looks way better than I thought, because at first, when you first see it, it looks very clunky and hard to move. But we saw him running and gunning. It was super amazing. I can't wait for it. But Electro, his banter is good. It just looks phenomenal. I cannot wait for Amazing Spider-Man 2. Anybody else have anything? We're going to stop for coming soon. Right now, I think that's good. We've talked about quite a bit of movies. We'll come back and do this again, because later in this year, there are more.
So much more.
We'll talk about
those.
It'd
be a good idea. We'll probably do this monthly. Just to get,
we will try. There's a lot of stuff. You know,
start it at the beginning and do movies for the month.
Yep, we can do the movies for the month. That. We can even talk about upcoming TV shows when they get closer to coming back out too. So that's it for me. Michael, you have something?
And again, if you listened to the last one, we gave out some info. If you listen to this, if you like this, if you have any suggestions, because this is still very much in its infancy of what we're doing right here, any comments, questions, suggestions, anything like that, you could hit us up on Twitter. Most of you people have us on Facebook personally. We also have Comes Naturally Facebook page. Our Twitter handle is
at Comes Naturally, or Comes Natural Pod, my bad. I don't even know on Twitter. We have our – so it's Comes Natural Pod on Twitter. Pizza. We have a Tumblr page which has an ask section, so you can write on there. We post them on there. It is comesnaturallypodcast.tumblr.com. The Facebook page we have – we need a bunch of likes so people can actually search for it easier. So please like that page as well if you enjoy the show.
And again, if you're having a hard time finding this right now, this is gonna grow. We have some – some steps we want to take first just to ensure some quality issues. But this will definitely be a lot easier to find in the very, very near future.
Very much so.
So bear with us right now, and we will definitely, definitely be on much more platforms coming up very soon.
We appreciate it. Thank you again for listening. We are...
Joe.
Mike.
I'm Cody, and our special guest is...
Taj.
All right, guys, we will see you next time. Thanks for listening.
Peace.
Adios.